welcome to Happy News Network.
We are here to brighten your week while you take a break from doom scrolling.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
We wanted to brighten social media, so we decided to make a podcast all about happy news.
Join us as we discuss our happy news finds.
Shayna, what's your happy news this week?
Okay, we have a very cool Earth Day themed minisode happening very, very soon because Earth Day falls on our minisode day this year. And I think we talk so much about sustainability on this podcast, and it is such an honor that we get to have some returning guests. We are bringing some new guests in. We have a group interview. I won't say how many people, but we have some really, really great topics that we're going to discuss. It's all about technology and community efforts to make the world greener and celebrate what we've got.
Yeah, it's exciting. Oh, I'm pumped about it.
A lot of work has gone into it too. So it's kind of a relief that it's finally airing because I feel like we both can take an exhaustion nap after.
So. Yeah. We should definitely rename it. It won't be a mini-sode, that's for sure. Like, don't expect 15 minutes.
Yes. Oh, true. This is like an Earth Day round table, except because the Earth is round, and except it's a Zoom panel. So it's we definitely did our Happy News Network version of like one of those company conferences where you bring in experts. And we just talked about this, like how exciting it is that we got some really esteemed professionals and people who run really cool organizations to take part in this. So very, very exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. And like, I'm so thankful to have you, Shayna, because you're just like, whatever, I'll email whoever. Let's go. Like, no goal is out of reach. Let's party. And like, nailed it. I'm so excited to share this with people.
Yeah. And I can't wait for Big Tech Day when we have Zuckerberg and Bezos and Bill Gates on, because they were very quick to answer their emails too. So like, this outreach is going swimmingly.
Right. Next week. Wait, what?
No. Oh my gosh. So what's been good in your world besides editing?
Right. Besides editing these amazing speakers. I got a Cricut, like every like crafty mama has a Cricut machine that like cuts vinyls and stuff. Yeah, not like a pet.
Not the
Cricut.
Animal.
No, I don't have like a pet Cricut.
Picture you with a pet Cricut.
No, I can barely keep myself alive. I can't have a pet. but I got this Cricut and I have just been labeling everything, Shayna. Like I have a soap dispenser. I labeled hand soap. I have another soap dispenser. I labeled it dish soap. Like I'm labeling everything and having the best time doing it.
Did you label Aaron? Did you just put like a big sticker on his forehead?
I should get like one of the iron-ons and just like iron it to his hair.
Oh, he'd love that. That's very trendy right now. Well, you could iron on labels to the masks. Just say Aaron.
Oh, perfect. Like his and hers mask. Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
Wow. To-do list. Thank you. Click, click.
Yep.
Anyway.
Oh,
what
man.
Are you reading about?
We're gonna close our eyes. We're gonna take a deep breath and we're gonna just poof off to Kenya we go. There is some very exciting news in the world of endangered animals. Back in 2012, 2013, rhino and elephant poaching in Kenya peaked. These animals have seen immense benefits from the strict lockdown and policing measures during COVID. So in 2020, Kenya Wildlife Services reported zero rhinos were poached in 2020. Correct. Zero. Zippity zero. And elephants saw a 97% decrease in poaching deaths. So these are the lowest numbers on record in KWS history.
Yes. Here for that.
Oh, yeah. And for rhinos specifically, this is the first time zero poaching incidents have happened since 1999. Yeah.
Wow.
Since last century, technically. Last century.
Technically.
Yes.
Wow. That's
according
painful
to Prince.
To hear.
It is painful to hear, but like you watch some of those poaching documentaries and you know that it's not just the people in those countries who are part of it. And so it's a bigger global effort, which is why like a pandemic kind of has upsides in terms of nature, having less man-made interaction. And so this good news also spreads to South Africa. And have you heard of Kruger National Park?
Yeah.
It's like their big safari park. I was very fortunate that my family got to go a few years ago on a trip And we got to see lots of rhinos and elephants and tons of animals. Their rhino poaching in Kruger National Park dropped 33% in 2020, making it the sixth consecutive year where those poaching numbers fell. So lots of good news happening.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm, here for it. Man, now I like really want to go to the Denver Zoo. We have a rhino that like hides out, and I have spent hours just standing in front of the rhino exhibit waiting for this guy to just make an appearance. And oh
yeah.
Wow.
They're very isolated animals. So like you could spend a whole day and he just may not feel social.
Yeah, not having it. Do not get my picture. Do not post on Instagram. Thank you, Kristen.
Oh yeah. And you know, kind of like us, they don't really love being around other people. So
yeah, I totally relate. I love that. I wish I had a giant horn on my forehead and could just like, back up. Just
your unicorn horn.
Oh, maybe I can make one. Anyway.
You could label it unicorn horn. Yeah.
Insert horn here.
What's your happiness this week?
Anyway, so Diana Trujillo was raised in Colombia and immigrated to Miami when she was 17 years old with $300 in her pocket. Now, growing up in Colombia was dangerous, and she would spend her nights looking up at the sky thinking, like, there has to be something better than this. And when she got to Miami, she enrolled in community college and eventually went to university and studied aerospace engineering. And to make money throughout school to pay for necessities, she like had your typical like cleaning jobs. Like she just did like the work that nobody wants to do, you know, but she never thought like, what am I doing here? What have I done to deserve cleaning a bathroom? What's going on? She said she was always grateful to have a job that afforded her a safe place to sleep and food to eat, things that she didn't have growing up. And now all of that backstory is to say that she now works for NASA and helped design the arm of the Mars rover that will be collecting samples for the next 2 years on Mars. So like, that's an incredible life journey. And what I think is most impressive about her recently is like, she wants to be a role model for young women, because going to school in Florida for aerospace engineering, not only did she not see very many Latino folks, but she also didn't see any female folks. So she's like, I want to be a role model for young women of all races. And when the Mars Perseverance landed, Diana hosted NASA's first ever Spanish language planetary landing show. And since then, it's been viewed over 2 million times.
Wow. We've talked about Katherine Johnson. We've talked a lot about different aerospace engineering stories. And even thinking about the DACA Rhodes Scholar, the ability to have singular focus and drive and goal is I think where some people can really find that pathway to success. Whereas people maybe who have more broader ranges of goals, it may take a little longer to see them happen because you're trying to follow multiple pathways at once. Her linear story doesn't really have a whole lot of deviation, you know. How do I get to NASA? Well, first I have to go to school. How do I get to school? Well, I have to afford it. So what a beautiful, beautiful story of just determination and doing things diligently to really achieve some beautiful goals.
Yeah, I love it. And like hosting this Spanish language viewing party essentially mm-hmm. is like such a huge pipeline to folks who don't speak English. Like there are so many Spanish speaking people contributing to America, like include them in the things that you're doing. Yeah. Anyway,
and making engineering, especially aeronautic engineering, accessible is huge because it shows that there is opportunity. So people might have more drive to pursue things and motivation. Like it was really kind of tough sometimes being on cruise ships because some of the dishwashers, they could earn stable wages for their families, even though they had formal degrees in architecture or something, but they went and followed opportunities so that their kids could have those secondary, like their kids could be in the position of more the Katherine Johnsons and this woman. So I feel like it's so inspiring to see all the hard work that goes into it.
Yeah, I really loved that article. So I felt like I had to share it.
Thank you for sharing. Very enlightening and inspiring. Okay. I don't know, growing up in Ohio, if you were near a lot of farms.
Oh, surrounded, but
Oh, yeah. This next story might kind of resonate with you.
What?
I'm on such an animal kick. So a little over 3 years ago, Holly Pode and her aunt created Moo Muffs. Moo Muffs are earmuffs that protect calves from frostbite, specifically their ears.
That's so cute.
It is so cute. Hold on. Let me put a picture in the chat. I just need to like drop this picture in for you to see. Hold on one second. Oh my gosh. I feel like I can't not let you have a visual during this presentation.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I have to figure this out. But anyways, I'll keep talking. So baby calves are at higher risk for frostbite and damage to their extremities in the cold. And it's because that they're so little in body mass, but they've got lots of real estate to try and keep warm. And so that's why they're always wrapped in those cute little blankets. And Holly's barn burned down and her calves were exposed to the cold several years ago. And it sort of inspired this whole project. So Moo Muffs took off and became really popular during the polar vortex a couple years ago. So they came back in style this winter. Again, cannot express how cute these are. Like, everybody must immediately Google Moo Muffs. So they're just like these little ear covers with a strap that goes down the snout and adjustable Velcro straps that go directly around the muzzle. It's so cute. And they look like little Nacho Libre meets Bane. It's like,
yes,
so
I was gonna cute. Say Nacho Libre.
So cute. And like the one I want to show you, it's like this calf has like a knitted style with pink. It's just so, so cute. And like some of them are very colorful and they don't really do like Moo Muffs en masse for other animals, but they do, like, they will do work for other animals. Oh, did you just find the pictures?
Yeah. And now I'm like in this click hole of like, there's a dog with a fuzzy ball hat. Like, I'm so here for this.
Oh yeah. So one of their special projects, there was a donkey that kept getting flies down its ear canal. So they made specialty covers for the ears so that it could stay bug free.
Oh, and I was going to ask, is like they're in Wisconsin, right? And yeah, this Wisconsin farmer. Oh,
is this the cutest little thing you've ever seen?
Wow. I will be doing this the rest of the day and not attending any other Zoom meetings. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome, everyone. I feel like the world needs to know about this.
Wow. Oh my God. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's so cute.
Shayna, I'm like going to cry because it's so cute. I can't handle this.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Sorry to distract you from your day with this cuteness. And like some of them are fleece, some of them are knit, some of them are more weather sensitive. So if you have a cow, please contact Moo Muffs. They are sold internationally. Maybe our friends in Spain with that donkey visitation program could get some donkey Moo Muffs, maybe like I don't want to swear too much in the podcast, but they could get ass muffs. I just, because they're donkeys, so it's appropriate to say that.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Like, I'm so happy about this.
Yeah, you're welcome. So cute.
Okay, well, this is a weird next article, but we're just going to go for it because we're a little weird. So here we are. I'm going to talk about the concept of no time, as in like zero time, N-O time. So like, I read blog posts all the time about like, the key to success is waking up at 4 a.m. before anybody else and going to bed after everybody else and never sleep, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And there's absolutely no way that people can do this. But so the other day I was like feeling super overwhelmed. Like, there's not enough time in the day. I'm working on 6 projects, all like the typical household errands, blah, blah, blah. And I'd like want to also spend time with my partner and time alone and all that. And so I remember at the beginning of this year, and you remember, like, I was waking up like January 1st, like that whole week, I was waking up at like 6 a.m. before the sun and just like doing puzzles and having, yeah, right? Like disgusting, but like, why was I doing this? Like no phone, no outside world. And it was amazing. And then like 2 days ago, I read this article about the concept of no time. And both Einstein and Steve Jobs were big believers in no time. And it's like setting aside a time for you, just quiet, alone, away from the everyday hustle and bustle. And that's when their ideas would flourish. Einstein and Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. like without the stress and madness of everyday things, your creative brain can wander and come up with things. Like it doesn't have to be at 4 a.m., but that time is like, in theory, the rest of the world wakes up. So you don't have a sense of pressure to do things, which is why people choose 4 a.m. But mm-hmm. like for me, like I feel like I could make that like 6 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Like yeah, it's whenever you can find neutrality.
Exactly. Exactly. Or like maybe it's I like instead of just like eating lunch in 10 minutes, I take a full hour lunch break and I eat my lunch and then I spend the last 50 minutes in this no time with no phone, no outside hustle and bustle, like just creative time. So
yeah.
Anyway, that was like really helpful for me to read. And now I just have to like implement that in my life. But yeah, that was a really cool like self-care idea. And the fact that Einstein and Steve Jobs did it, like maybe I'll create the next iPhone thing. So,
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready for this. Yeah. So the benefit of something like meditation is that it slows your brain down and then you practice the idea of saying no thoughts are allowed. And then you immediately realize how many thoughts you do have and you can immediately sort them out more comprehensively. It's fascinating. Yeah. So I feel like no time is the formal version of something like a meditation or just a mind clearing. Like when we say, oh, I'm going to just go take a walk and clear my mind. Like this is like the official version of that.
Exactly. Exactly. And
wow.
Yeah. I think like for some people hearing meditate, they immediately are like, hippies, what are you doing? Like, well, what if I call it no time? What if I tell you that Einstein did this? Like, does that make it better?
I'm having an Einstein moment. Yeah, I definitely feel like whatever your rebranding of it could be, you know, and also for you, Kristen, like whatever makes it appealing to you, especially on days where you're more stressed. If you're thinking in my mind, I have no time, calling it no time is maybe not the word, but if you call it mind time, like there are totally ways that you can make it work for you.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I just thought that was a cool tip.
I love that.
Well, Einstein pro idea.
So. I like this. This is like one of those tips for future leaders type things. Super nifty.
Yeah.
Okay. So this last article I have is sort of a three-part series, I guess. I was scrolling through my Starbucks app months ago doing a mobile order, and I came across an article from last fall, sort of just in my little Starbucks app feed. So the Starbucks Foundation has given $1.5 million to 400 nonprofits, and part of their neighborhood grant program, specifically last year, they donated to Black-led grassroots nonprofits serving Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities. So I wanted to focus and just give credit to the three organizations that they highlighted in this giant article.
Love this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So first up, Jamila Coleman created the Seattle-based You Grow Girl, inspired by things that she wished she'd had while growing up in the foster system. Jamila's organization focuses on inspiring young girls through mentorship, counseling, leadership, and there are accountants on staff who teach math to girls maybe struggling with online school during COVID or online learning times. There are therapists dropping off basic supplies to families each week. There's just this huge emphasis that she's created as part of their mission to teach and provide life skills. And it's just remarkable. You Grow Girl is 18 years old and Jamila is motivated, she says, to help break the cycle of people just not knowing things, because maybe if they're, especially in the foster system, no one's teaching them some of that institutional life knowledge, or if they come from a broken family, no one's teaching them. So she's really determined to give people those skills to succeed in life.
Wow, I love that.
Yes. And so the next person I want to talk about is, I'm going to go for it on the name, Shaheem Banks. He's a former Starbucks partner who now works at One Hood Media. It's a Pittsburgh nonprofit, and it raises awareness for social justice topics using songwriting, photography, videography, all those really cool expressive art forms. It's really, really cool to see the scope of work they do. He specifically is an extrovert with his love for community connection, so the opportunity at One Hood was really a perfect fit for him. And it also, their nomination for this money from Starbucks was a very full circle moment for him, bringing those two communities together. So One Hood is 15 this year. It continues to serve youth and young adults through media literacy training. There's conflict resolution training, lots of workshops for different artistic skills. Maybe if you want to learn different videography methods, there are some workshops for you. And they've also got programs that work with juvenile detention facilities, really honing their mission that everyone has and deserves opportunities to find and use their voices. And learning how to express themselves.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And okay, so the last one I'll focus on is in DC. We're going to talk about the Children of Mine Youth Center. It's located in the historic Anacostia neighborhood, which was at some point the home of Frederick Douglass.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this center is almost four decades old. It's been a steadfast support system. Recently, they offer after-school programming and meals for kids, meals for the whole family. And Children of Mine, specifically the organization, not the youth center, the mission started as an effort by Hannah Hawkins, who was a neighborhood resident. She would provide hot meals for children back in the 1980s. And then she'd also give the kids like clean clothes and lessons and just overall community betterment via supporting kids. It's what a, like a, and I love the, this running theme of community helping community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And their current executive director, Eugene Howie, sprung into this adapt mode for the pandemic. And so they paused all their in-person programming and they created weekend bags. So they would give out food and snacks to kids to have to be able to eat over the weekends. And over the past year, they have figured out how to do hot meals once a week.
Awesome. Oh, I love that. And I love that Starbucks is like, this is what we need to focus on right now. This is important. Yeah. This is where our money should go. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to celebrate in there.
Yeah. My last article is fluffy and cute and was apparently a little controversial, but not really, not, it's not like that deep. So there was this student in Kentucky who took his 11th grade World War II test. And at the end of his test, like after all the questions, he wrote, "Please give my extra points to whoever scored the lowest." And like apparently the teacher was so shocked by this that they posted it on social media, and that post like kind of blew up and it was being shared all over, and tons of people were chiming in on whether or not someone who didn't earn the points themselves should receive them. But the teacher ultimately decided, like, that was the controversy. People were like, well, they didn't earn the points. Like, okay. But the teacher was like, I just am going to honor this student's wish and give their bonus points to the person who scored the lowest, which knocked them from a failing grade to a passing grade. And the teacher just said that it was a good example of a pay it forward gesture, as the student who did well didn't know his results when he wrote that. He didn't know what he was going to get, like 100% on his quiz. And he didn't know who was going to receive his points. It was just a blind pay it forward moment. And I just really loved that. And I love that the teacher was like, okay, social media, settle down. This is like a good deed that someone's trying to do. So I'm going to accommodate, be quiet.
Love it.
Yeah. But I love that. Like blindly helping people that you don't know
just being a good person and saying, I don't need these points. I'm not going to be super greedy with them.
Yeah. Like, I know that I'm right and I know that people are struggling, so let me help them. And like, I just thought that was a really cool 11th grade act of kindness. And I wanted to share
it. I love that. So I'm going to segue into what my thing I'm looking forward to is, by the time this airs, I'll be very close to graduating from my Creative Catalyst certificate program after several months of learning about creative endeavors, leadership, entrepreneurship, innovation. So I'm very excited.
Yes, I'm so excited for you. And like, I cannot congratulate you enough. Like, I cannot express how excited I am for you that like you've done this all during, you've taken this time and like educated yourself and like grown so much as a creative human. And it's amazing to watch. And I'm really happy to be your cheerleader on the sidelines. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means so much.
I love it.
What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to this big Earth Day roundtable tomorrow that like, I definitely just want to say this was all your idea and you put it together. Like, I literally am just like editing this silliness down to however many hours.
Without good editing, it could be a disaster. So you've made it, you know, you've definitely made it equally valuable.
But like, I love like how much we've grown in season two. Like, it's been, what is this, like episode 11 or 12 or something. And we're doing this roundtable with these amazing big companies, really these important companies that we've talked about and admired for like a season and a half. And now we're talking to them. And it's just really cool how you have been able to do this. And like, you set the bar up here and you do not rest until you have met that bar. And it's really awesome. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with everybody tomorrow. It's going to be really cool.
Thank you. Yeah. I hope people like it.
Yeah. And if you don't tell us, keep your mouth shut.
And that's the happy tea.
We love all forms of happy news and happenings.
Be sure to send us your own day-to-day happy news, cute pet stories, kids saying the darndest things, whatever you're up to, we love it all.
Email us at hnnpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on social media at hnnpodcast for happy news throughout the week.
And be sure to subscribe to us through Patreon, where you'll get exclusive content and more.
Until next time, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
Have a happy week.